Good morning.
We have some visitors here today that I have not had a chance to greet. I hope you will stay long enough for that to happen. And we have some members who do not come all the time that I have not gotten to see in a few weeks. Please make sure I get to speak to you before you leave today as well. Clint Hurley's mother caught me this morning. Clint's mother and dad have become very good friends of mine over the years. I don't know if they can say the same about me, but they become very good friends of mine. And with this real concerned look on her face, she said, "Shan, are you okay?" I thought, "Have you talked to my doctor?" And I don't know what I'm about to find out. I thought I was okay. I said, "Yes, I'm okay." She said, "Well," she noticed on the calendar that I'm going to be gone 3 times in the last 4 months. "It's just a coincidence. I have attended the Schertz lecture in November for many, many years. And for some reason, I don't like to take a vacation early in the year. And I don't like to take it in the summer. That's when everybody else is taking it. So Linda and I usually wait to the fall to take our vacation." But I appreciated her concern. Our sermon this morning is a requested sermon. Not only is the subject matter requested, but even the specific passage has been requested. The subject matter is the importance of prayer. And the specific scripture is going to be the last verse that Charles read just a moment ago. Psalm 28, verse 7. But brethren, before we get into the lesson, let me ask you some questions. Have you ever had a hard time going to sleep at night? Or have you ever had a hard time staying asleep at night? That's really my problem, staying asleep. I can doze off immediately, but in 30 or 40 minutes I wake up, my eyes are like this. Originally, I used to try to force myself to go back to sleep. I would tense up and I would lay just as still as I can and I would force my eyes closed, and that's the worst thing you can do. That would make me mad, and so I would get up and I'd go and try to watch television. There's nothing on worth watching at all, but especially not at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd try to get on the computer, but my eyes are still matted over from that little bit of sleep I got. One time I tried warm milk. Yuck is all I can say about a warm milk. And it would get madder and madder and madder. Well, what helps me is instead of trying to force myself to sleep, I try to just relax as much as I can. Relax and devoid my mind of all outside influences. Just try to wipe my mind's slate clean. And brethren, I have found, and maybe you have too, I don't know. I have found that if I'm deliberately trying to relax and wipe my mind's slate clean, more often than not, some really important thoughts will come into my mind. Thus the title of our lesson this morning, not the abbreviated title that's on your Sunday sheet. The real title is Life Has a Way of Reminding Us of What Is Really Most Important. What is really most important. Now, our introductory text is going to come from the pen of King Solomon. We had a sermon on Solomon not long ago, and you'll remember that we decided the Bible teaches that Solomon was given a godly degree of wisdom. And with this godly degree of wisdom, he was to lead the children of Israel, and he did in a marvelous way. However, as we studied in that sermon, at a point in his life, he played the fool, and he allowed his foreign wives, strange wives, as the King James says, to lead him into complete apostasy. He built for them temples to worship their false deities. He even abandoned God for them. But as we also decided, and I hope everyone agrees with me, and I hope this is true, Later in Solomon's life, he repented of his sin. You remember in the book of Ecclesiastes, the last writing we have of his, he said, among other things, folly of vanity of vanity, all things are vanity. And he concluded that wonderful letter of Ecclesiastes with these words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Now, brethren, we live in an age of information. In fact, instantaneous information. Now, in some respects, that's very good. And in some respects, that's not very good. It's good to know what's going on in the world, but sometimes it's not good to know what's going on in the world. But whether good, bad, or indifferent, sometimes we overload our thought process. We're barraged with tweets and calls and emails and texts, and we have to keep up with all of these things. At times like that, it seems that life is always ready, eager, and able to remind us of the things that are really important. But we confuse our mind because maybe our team is not as good as we thought it was going to be. Or maybe the car is making some strange noise. Or maybe there's an appliance at the house that needs to be replaced. Or we can't keep up with world events, and we are keeping up with world politics. We're keeping up with American politics. We're keeping up with the Kardashians. And we just overload our thoughts. And then when we are shocked out of our selfishness, we realize these things are trite and trivial compared to the things that are most important. And in a moment, we realize that things that are bothering us, things that are keeping us awake at night, pale in comparison to the things that are really important. But at times like that, we're so quick to say, I just don't know where to turn. What am I going to do? I don't know where to turn. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, brethren, we do know where to turn. And we do know what to do. We're going to turn to the Lord. That's the conclusion of the whole matter for us. Now, brethren, life long before Facebook. There was life long before Facebook. Long before text and email, long before Twitter ever made its first tweet, there was prayer. And there is no limit to the amount of minutes we use in prayer. There's no roaming charges in prayer. There's no limited data or connection fees in prayer. It is a free access to the very ear and heart of God that has been available to people almost from the beginning of time. And brethren, we must never, never, never forget that the greatest form of communication that has ever been at our disposal is prayer. You know, if something happens in our life, maybe it's something good, maybe it's something bad. The first person or the first people we want to let know is our loved ones. Good news, bad news, the first people we call is our loved ones. Well, brothers and sisters, who loves us more than God? Good times or bad times, He should be the first one that we call. Now, our introductory text came from the pen of King Solomon. Our application text is going to come from the pen of his father, King David. Psalm 28. Ultimately, it's going to be verse 7. Now, we hinted at this in our Bible class this morning. David was a true believer in prayer. David knew and realized that God had delivered him from the lion and the bear. God had delivered him from the hands of the giant Goliath. David was a firm believer in prayer. And do you remember when your children were young? When mommy or daddy would walk up, they would reach up. Sometimes they'd get up on their tippy toes. They want mommy or daddy to pick them up. Well, David was sure that God was picking up on his prayers, that his prayers were reaching up to God, and that God not only heard those prayers, but God would act upon those prayers. So David certainly was a man of prayer. And we need the realization of that as well. God will hear our prayers. God will answer our prayers accordingly. He wants to hear our prayers. He needs to hear our prayers. And he answers our prayers according to his will. Brethren, God listens to every prayer offered by his children around the world. He has the ability to hear and respond to every prayer heard by his children around the world. He hears the prayers that we say around the dinner table as we offer thanks for our food. He hears the prayers from the emergency room when we or someone else we care about is taken there, or from the delivery room. He hears all of those prayers. He hears every prayer that has ever been uttered from this church building or outside of this church building, as long as our heart is sincere with him. It is incredible to think that the God who created the universe cares enough about you and cares enough about me to hear every prayer that I have ever offered, as long as my prayer is sincere. It is incredible to think that God loves us that much. The Lord listens. He wants to hear from his people. Now, our text comes from the passage that Charles read a moment ago. It's the last verse that he read in Psalm 28. It was verse 7. In this psalm, we see David's petition to the Father. David needs help, and he realizes he can only turn to God. Now, David does not give us information as to why he's needing help at this particular time, but he needs help. Maybe it was the time that King Saul was chasing after David, and had he caught David, he would have killed him. You remember, his ego was so damaged when the people were saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. He was seeking after David. Maybe that's the time frame of this thinking process. Maybe it's when David was leading his army into battle, or maybe it's when the battle appeared to be lost, or maybe it's when David was hiding in a cave and the Philistines were all in the valley down below. He doesn't really say, but we know that David turned to the Lord. Just like the lion, just like the bear, just like Goliath, David always turned to the Lord. Why would he And why would we think that God no longer answers our prayers when he's answered our prayers all of our lives? Maybe we did not get the answer in the time frame we're looking for. We are such an impatient people. Maybe we did not get the answer we were looking for. Maybe it came later. But God has always heard our prayers. God will always hear our prayers, and God will act accordingly. Psalm 28, to you I cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent with me. Let me see your answer in my life. Down to verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. And the first part of verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Now, brethren, I want to say something, and I can't think of a way to say this more specifically than the way I'm going to say it right now. God wants his people to be a people of prayer. He wants us to be a people of prayer collectively. He wants us to be a people of prayer individually. But he is not interested, listen closely. He is not interested in anything that does not come from our heart. This is who we really are. Our prayers need to come from our heart. But He wants us to pour our cares upon Him. We also mentioned in class today, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast your care upon the Lord. He cares for you. Brethren, no one cares for us like that. But now to the real gist of the question. Brethren, perhaps God is not answering our prayers the way we want Him to. Because in some way, we think we're hiding something from God. Perhaps He's not answering our prayers the way we want Him to because we think we can hide things in our life from Him from whom nothing can be hidden. Brethren, God knows every word that comes out of our mouth. He knows everywhere we go. He knows why we say what we do, why we go where we go. He knows our heart. Why try to hide things from the one from whom nothing can be hidden? There's just no point. Now, again, our text, and I want to personalize our text as we conclude the lesson today. Psalm 28, beginning with verse 7. The Lord is our strength. We know that. We realize that. We must live that way. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our shield. This is a battle in which we are living in. Satan wants us. He wants to hurl those fiery darts at us. Only the Lord can protect us at times like that. The Lord is our shield. Then David says we must trust Him with all of our heart. You know, the American way is to trust our money, or trust our occupation, or trust our education. No, we must trust God. We must trust Him with all of our heart. Because, David says, He will help. On one occasion, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. On another occasion, Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the very end. He will help. Therefore, our heart can find cause to rejoice greatly. To rejoice greatly. To rejoice greatly means to rejoice greatly because God can, will, and does answer our prayers. And because of that, with our songs, we will sing His praise. Brethren, I appreciated this request. I hope I did it justice. The requester is here today. I guess I will find out fairly soon. If you have a request for a sermon, write it down. Sign your name so that I will know who made the request. In case I have a question, I'll be able to contact you. But look at this passage. Brethren, we need to be people of prayer. God wants us to be people of prayer. We need to know how to pray, not just words, but from the heart. And God will hear our prayers, and God will answer our prayers because He loves us that much. Now, I made the statement we need to pray to Him sincerely. We also need to pray to Him when we are in His Son. And the only way to get into His Son is to be baptized into Him. So this morning you've heard the truth. If you believe the truth, if you're ready now to confess that Jesus is the Lord of life, if you're ready now to make a repentance of your sins and a change of your life, the song number is number 607. We're going to sing the first and last verses. Barry will be here to greet you, and I will come down as soon as the song is over. If you need to respond, do not delay. We're singing only two verses. If you need to, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?